you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. This is God's Word. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Very familiar words. We know these words. We've heard them over and over. We've read them over and over. But this is amazing. It is not the sort of thing that happens every day. It is not the sort of thing that happened a lot in the Bible. It is something that happened once in human history. And it is amazing. The first thing, many lessons we can draw from this, but the first thing I want us to note is God's sovereignty, which fulfilled God's promise. It begins by nailing this down in time. It doesn't say once upon a time, long, long ago. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. and everyone went to his own town to register. In other words, you can check this out. This is written at a time when people knew what was happening. Luke is anchoring it in history that people who were alive when they read this gospel at the start of church history, they could say, yeah, Quirinius was governor of Syria. Okay, so it was during that census, the first one. But folks, Quirinius wasn't a follower of Jesus. Jesus hadn't been born yet. Caesar Augustus certainly was not a follower of Jesus. But God was able to work through pagan, demonized governance in order to accomplish his purpose. And that's why we should not get all bent today if we feel like some of our leaders are not exactly godly people who are seeking to do God's will. God's going to work out his plan. And therefore, we can rejoice and rest, not because happy days are here again, we've got our party in office. No, that's not it. We rejoice and we rest because God is on the throne. And we are not anchored in this worldly kingdom. We're part of God's kingdom. And we're here as ambassadors to appeal to people while they have the opportunity to be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Don't let politics distract you from what it's all about. God is working out his purpose. And his purpose is for the salvation of his people. God's sovereignty worked through pagan rulers in order to accomplish his purpose, because Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph apparently were up in Nazareth. So you gotta get them there. How can we do that? Well, how about if we just make everybody go to their place of origin and register for a census? That'll do it. I would say that's not very efficient. But you see, God often does things that are not very efficient from our standpoint. But God always knows what he's doing. And he does all things well. Now, God's sovereignty and God's power, if he's able to work out all these things, we ought to have a pretty cushy life, shouldn't we? But God doesn't necessarily do things in the way that we would plan or desire. I was sharing with the staff at the staff Christmas party that I would think, if I was Joseph, that this was very upsetting that we're having to make this trip right at the end of Mary's pregnancy. Okay? I mean, that just doesn't seem like a good idea. But if we're going to have to do that, we certainly ought to have a room at the inn when we get to Bethlehem, right? I mean, this is the Son of God who's about to be born, and, I'm trying to get Mary there before she gives birth, because I can tell she's starting to act like, it could be imminent. I would want to be sure that we had a good, comfortable place to stay. Mary and Joseph show up in Bethlehem. She's about to give birth, and there's no room for them in the inn. If that was the way it worked out for Mary and Joseph, why would we expect to get a parking space close to the store entrance? You know? I mean, there's this attitude on the part of a lot of people, God, I know you are sovereign over all things, and right now I need to get in and out quickly. So if you would please arrange the details so that this all goes smoothly for me, I'd really appreciate it. And if you don't, I'm going to wonder if there's sin in my life or what's going on. No, God does not only what is for his glory, but what is for our good. And sometimes it's good for us to walk. Amen? And in the case of Jesus' birth, it was good that we would see the humility of the one who came to die. Being born in a stable and placed in a manger is nothing compared to being nailed to a cross. And he came to die. That was his purpose in coming. God's sovereignty is not always used to bring about our plans or desires, but it is always, amazingly, to meet our needs.
Folks, this is the conclusion of our financial year here at Ware's Valley Ranch. And we really need for God to answer prayer and send in a wonderful year end. As you know, the economy has been very challenging for a lot of folks, and that includes a lot of our supporters. So if you are in a position to help us, we really need your help. Do whatever God puts on your heart. You can't give what you don't have. But if you would pray and ask out of what you do have, what the Lord might have you share with us, because these kids rely on God's provision, as does our staff. Help us if you can. God bless you.
Verse 10, the angel that appeared, first of all, it was one angel that appeared. And in verse 10, the angel said what the angel said to Mary and what the angel said to Zechariah. And what we've pointed out, angels tend to say at the start when you encounter them. Verse 10. Do not be afraid. It's the first thing the angel says to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. Right now, in our country and in this world, people are horribly fearful of all kinds of stuff. They're worried about money. They're worried about their health. They're worried about world events. There's all kinds of stuff that gets to us and we feel like, oh, what am I going to do? What should I do? How do I handle this? What should I have done? How can I undo my mistakes? Don't be afraid. That's not going to help. Fear is a tool of the enemy in order to mess with you and make it harder for you to do the right thing. But the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of self-control. And so, do not be afraid. If you need to, write it on your refrigerator and your bathroom mirror. But remember, that's not just positive thinking. It's God's word. Repeatedly, hundreds of times in Scripture, God says to his people, do not be afraid. If we fear the Lord, we have nothing else to fear. Second thing, notice that the angel says, this is good news. I bring you good news of great joy. Do we really believe that about the message that has been entrusted to us? Do we really believe this is good news? If it's good news, you might want to share it more. Okay? It's good news of great joy. God's people should be characterized by joy. And sadly, there are a whole lot of folks who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, but apparently are focused on the wrong thing, and they're filled with fear because they're not thinking about God's sovereignty. They're thinking about their bank account or their report from the doctor or what have you. And I'm telling you that there are a whole lot of Christians who are absolutely down in the dumps because they're aiming for the wrong thing. They think they know what they're aiming at, but they're aiming at the wrong thing. If you are aiming at a comfortable life, you're aiming at the wrong thing. If you are aiming at being popular, liked, you're aiming at the wrong thing. If you're aiming at getting rich, you're aiming at the wrong thing. If you're aiming at making sure you never get sick and die, you're aiming at the wrong thing. None of us is in control of the universe. None of us can control other people, even if we love them. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control, not the control of others. So please get your eyes back on the Lord. Look to Him. And when you look to Him and focus on who He is and what He has done and what He has promised, do you know what comes? Peace that passes understanding. Joy, inexpressible and full of glory. Even if you're staying in a cattle stall. I would never choose that. God chose that. Because God knew it was best. Johnny Erickson Tata would never have chosen to be a quadriplegic. Never. She is very bright, very articulate, musically talented, and artistically talented. But if she had not dived into that water and broken her neck, most of us would never have heard of her. But God has used her life to reach millions around the world because of that problem. Nick Vujicic would never have chosen to be born without arms and legs. But God has used him to reach millions around the world. And I'm telling you, you will not encounter two more joyful Christians than Nick and Johnny. Because their focus is where it needs to be. It's good news of great joy, and it says it's for all the people. Now, please understand, it was not good news for Herod because he was hostile to the truth. Not everybody is going to get saved. And for those who reject the truth, it's bad news. When it says for all the people, it's talking about all kinds of people, young and old, rich and poor, from every tribe and tongue and nation. But it's not just for us to keep to ourselves. It's for everybody. Verse 13, please notice the angels that joined the individual angel, it says they appeared. We've talked about this before, but I don't want you to forget it. The angels apparently, choice of word, were there, and then they appeared. We mentioned the Old Testament prophet who prayed, Lord, please open his eyes so he can see. There was an angelic army that was there that outnumbered the foreign army that had come to seize the prophet. That's why the prophet was not afraid. He could see what others couldn't see. He saw the angel army. And you and I need to realize that we don't have to see angels to know that what God says is true, and that is that he has made his angels ministering spirits on our behalf. God is at work. There are angelic forces at work on our behalf per God's instruction because God says so. I've never seen an angel. Well, neither have I, knowingly. But God is at work on our behalf. He knows what we need, and he is doing good things. The angels appeared. And notice what the angels did when they appeared. They praised the Lord. They worshiped. And then notice the response of the shepherds. They believed God's word, and they acted on it. When the angels had left them, verse 15, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see if this is true." Is that what they did? Please look at the text. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." That should be our response to the word of the Lord. If God says it, that settles it. When I was a teenager and the Jesus movement was going on, Jesus people were everywhere. One of the bumper stickers that became popular said, "God says it, I believe it, that settles it." And I just wanted to fix that. Because actually, God said it, that settles it. Believe it. Understand? It's not settled because you believe it. It's settled because God said it. The wise men did what they were told. The shepherds did what they were told. Mary believed what she was told. And you and I need to believe what we've been told. God's word is always true, whether you believe it or not. Let's go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. Verse 16, so they hurried off. They were quick to obey. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And then they began spreading the word. In verse 20, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen. Here's the final phrase, which were just as they had been told. That phrase is going to recur in the Gospels. The Lord says something, and those who begin to do it, it turns out it was just exactly as God said. There's the colt of a donkey tied up at this place. There's a person with a water jar on their head. All these things that happen just as God said. I don't know how all the end time stuff is going to turn out. If you want to know exactly how it's going to turn out, watch one of the people who thinks they know exactly how it's all going to turn out. Just don't watch more than one because they don't agree with each other. But they're all sure they know, okay? I don't know how all the details are going to go out. I do know certain things. I do know that Jesus is coming again. And I know that I'm closer to it today than I was when I was a little kid. And I know this. When it happens, we're going to look and say, that's what that meant. It's just as he said. Now when we know that, and we know that the one who's in control of the universe loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross to save us, how can we not have peace and joy even in the midst of a struggle?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.